Hello, Marion Pallister, Vice Chair of Justice and Peace Scotland here. We went into lockdown just before the clocks leapt forward, and here we are, still restricted in our movements on the day that the clocks fall back. Age alert, I'm just thankful that all our electronic gadgets do that for themselves and save me worrying about which way to turn the pointers, but at least new technology has given us the chance to be in touch with each other and to learn so much about what's going on in the world. We began October with the very positive signing of Pope Francis' new encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, which encourages us all to care for each other as brothers and sisters, just as his Laudato Si document urged us to care for our common home. Listening to and reacting to the cry of the earth, the cry of the poor, have been the touchstones of this papacy. And while some world leaders have seemed less than empathetic to these benchmarks, this period of COVID restriction has allowed so many of us real people to reflect and respond positively. Pope Francis has been trying to tell us since the start of his papacy that the cry of the poor and the cry of the earth are inextricably linked. You remember that this is the man who took the name Francis because of his understanding that St. Francis of Assisi is the man of poverty, the man of peace, the man who loves and protects creation. The climate emergency most affects the world's poorest, and there should be no surprise when people whose food source has withered or has been burned in the ground or has been flooded out of the ground pack up their meagre belongings and head for another country less badly affected by the carbon emissions the global north continues to pump out. There are those who are poor in other ways. When your country is torn by conflict, whether that's a violent crackdown on any form of civil liberties or all-out war in which civilians are maimed and killed, it doesn't matter how much money you have access to, your poverty is the loss of your peace, your well-being, your home, perhaps your friends and relatives. If you can, you will pack up what's left of your normality and head for a country that can offer refuge. Migrants and refugees, two words that are increasingly misunderstood, that are transformed into words of hate and contempt. We've witnessed for many years unwelcoming headlines in the media directed against migrants and refugees. These are not devolved issues, however welcoming Scotland seeks to be, so we had little say in the matter when Theresa May, as Home Secretary, made it clear she wanted to create what she named as a hostile environment for those seeking in some way to better their lives in the UK. And earlier this month, Priti Patel, in her role as Home Secretary, said she wouldn't be siding with the do-gooders who wanted to help migrants and refugees. Instead, she will revolutionise the UK's immigration policy. And who can forget the possible solution suggested of sending asylum seekers to islands 4,000 miles away or accommodating them on disused oil rigs? The words frying pan and fire came to my mind. Imagine fleeing from the horror of Syria only to find yourself in a rusting tin can in the North Sea. On Tuesday of this week, Justice and Peace Scotland is holding an online conversation in which people working closely with refugees and migrants will describe their reality. If you go to our website, www.justiceandpeacescotland.org.uk, you've still time to book for the event, which offers the opportunity to ask questions about those realities, because every individual has a reality exclusive to themselves. I'm reminded that when soldiers are training, they learn to see the enemy as anonymous, nameless, non-persons, because as soon as your opponent becomes a person like you, with the same fear in their eyes, the same cold sweat chilling them under their uniform, the same thoughts of a wife, a son, a father, a husband, then it becomes so much more difficult to assault, to kill. It's why modern drone warfare is so sinister. The enemy remains the non-person. Perhaps there's a similar psychology at work that demonizes those boatloads of anonymous strangers, those camps filled with anonymous foreigners. Yet Pope Francis has made a point of meeting migrants and refugees face to face. No, not just face to face, but in pre-COVID times, of hugging them and holding them close as brothers and sisters, fratelli tutti. Somehow, we have to follow his example and encourage the naysayers to be as generous. It's interesting that Facebook, which can be a very dark place but can also be a force for good, added a caring emoji this year that offers a hug alternative to smiles, tears and anger. I see it being used more and more, hopefully encouraging the angry face emoji users to reflect and be less judgmental. In the days before social media platforms were invented and, I think, encouraged some people to let rip with their feelings and so marginalise and disrespect all and sundry, I worked as a journalist and found myself in a series of war zones. I can remember being in a refugee camp in Kosovo in the late 1990s, feeling a bit overwhelmed by this sea of humanity that just kept coming and coming. Men, women and children, young and old, wearied by the trek through rough terrain they had undertaken to seek refuge away from the hostilities. I knew I would be able to write for my newspaper about the facts of their flight, their plight, but would I be able to convey their individual realities? Then I saw an elderly granny with legs horrifically swollen by the lengthy walk, dozens of kilometres, from the home she'd known all her days, now guided by Norwegian stewards to a tent with a muddy floor. To me, she could no longer be anonymous. This could be my mother. I couldn't just tick a box and say this was another statistic, offered safety. Yes, safety, yes, refuge, but now I could recognise not just a refugee, but a frail, distressed, elderly lady with a past filled with joys and sorrows, now facing nothing but fear and loss. Had those refugees in time not been able to return to their homes, however fragile those homes may have become by then, would the UK Home Secretary of the day have considered holding a woman like this on an oil rig while her papers, what papers, were checked out? On November 16th, just a couple of weeks from now, we celebrate the International Day for Tolerance. In my book, that's one that should be made much of. Like most of these international days, the International Day for Tolerance was designated as such by the United Nations, which of course is committed to strengthening tolerance by fostering mutual understanding among cultures and peoples. That's what the United Nations Charter is all about, and what the Universal Declaration of Human Rights has at its heart. As the UN points out, that tolerance is more important than ever in what it calls this era of rising and violent extremism and widening conflicts that are characterised by a fundamental disregard for human life. The Declaration of Principles on Tolerance was adopted by UNESCO member states in November 1995. It sees tolerance not just as a moral duty, but as a political and legal requirement for individuals, groups, and states. And it identifies discrimination and marginalisation, as well as the more obvious outright injustice and violence, as forms of intolerance. During this strange year, as well as being more positive aspects of neighbourliness and community spirit that emerged during COVID, we have seen shocking discrimination and marginalisation. The Black Lives Matter campaign has thrown into sharp relief the ongoing bigotry and racism that affects every black life in the US, the UK and across Europe. The situation that faced black barrister Alexandra Wilson, repeatedly mistaken for a defendant as she tried to get into a courtroom to carry out her job, needs the package of changes in law, education, access to information, and the individual awareness that the UN says is the only way to counter intolerance. Of course, as Catholics, we should be living this. Catholic social teaching asks us to respect human dignity, our own and each other's, and to work together in solidarity, valuing each other as unique individuals and making a difference by working together as brothers and sisters. For us, every day should be International Day for Tolerance. Every day, one during which we try to make sure that no one is discriminated against, no one marginalised. In his introduction to Fratelli Tutti, Pope Francis writes that St. Francis of Assisi felt himself a brother to the sun, the sea and the wind, yet he knew that he was even closer to those of his own flesh. Wherever he went, he sowed seeds of peace and walked alongside the poor, the abandoned, the infirm and the outcast, the least of his brothers and sisters. And His Holiness hopes that his new encyclical will be a contribution to continued reflection in the hope that in the face of present-day attempts to eliminate or ignore others, we may prove capable of responding with a new vision of fraternity and social friendship that will not remain at the level of words. He explains, "Although I have written it from the Christian convictions that inspire and sustain me, I have sought to make this reflection an invitation to dialogue among all peoples of goodwill." And if anyone's still nitpicking over the title of the encyclical, Pope Francis writes, "It is my desire that in this our time, by acknowledging the dignity of every human person, we can contribute to the rebirth of a universal aspiration to fraternity, fraternity between all men and women." He doesn't marginalise women or discriminate against them. This is inclusive. Of course it is. A dictionary definition of the word fraternity is community. And wouldn't we all like to be part of that dialogue among all good people of goodwill that community seeks to acknowledge the dignity of every human person? It is surely only through dialogue, through care, through tolerance, through respect that we can achieve justice and peace. There is no other way for me to end this than to share one of the two prayers which Pope Francis concludes Fratelli Tutti. Lord, Father of our human family, you created all human beings equal in dignity. Pour forth into our hearts a fraternal spirit and inspire in us a dream of renewed encounter, dialogue, justice and peace. Move us to create healthier societies and a more dignified world, a world without hunger, poverty, violence and war. May our hearts be open to all the peoples and nations of the earth. May we recognise the goodness and beauty that you have sown in each of us and thus forge bonds of unity, common projects and shared dreams. Amen. Thank you for listening.